to a brand new episode of Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. As I fell asleep, I awoke in Hell's arms, pleasantly surprised by my surroundings. The world was awash with white bulbs that flashed, lighting up the sky like I was a movie star. It was December, and Daddy's little princess had platinum cards, painted nails, and a Prada bag with her name on it. My demons were not wealthy, but I was dreaming, spoiled by my subconscious, ready to right a new right for every wrong that had wounded me. I was dreadful, spending, seething, dreaming of something that couldn't be purchased and couldn't be permitted, for even in my dreams, the man who made me was a tyrant. Try as I might, I could not escape his anger. Even when my eyes were closed and my mind was my own, I ran away, but he was always on my mind, even as I built us a little home, hoarding my hopes upon a hill and holding out for a miracle. We fell in love again, never to be parted. It was Christmas time and not a thing could go wrong. It was not enough. I was dramatic, dying to be adored, daring to be admired. I was your wayward wee girl, unsatisfied with the joy that waited beneath my shimmering tree, stomping my ballet flats and breaking your heart by being such a brat. I'm just trying to survive. Can't he see that? This is all I have. These dreams, so fantastical but so fragile, slipping through my sobbing hands. Can't he leave me to my lovely lover in our field of lilac? He lurks by the window, shriveled, decaying head, shaking as his echoed tuts torment me. Not even heaven can be helped when hell has her in his grasp. We fought, fraught by the terror of what he had taught me, tortured by the tuts, endless like the ticking of a clock, running you off until I was all alone. No longer watched over by the disapproving patriarch, no longer tolerated by the tired lover. I was just a sleeping girl, submerged in solitude and left to drown. I tried to drown, but the whole thing felt tired and reductive. I had to be above it. I had always been too sad to live, but too self-absorbed to die. So I just cried. Oh, how I cried, filling the room with my flimsy feelings, swimming in my misery while Bing Crosby played softly. And as my teardrops fell like the promised snow, I remembered the last words my demon spoke when my eyes were closed and my pen pushed him to speak like a vaudeville ventriloquist to its favourite puppet. It will all be over by Christmas. Much like Frank Sinatra, I am doing my Christmas dreaming a little earlier this year because it's been a struggle. 2023 is really throwing fucking everything at me. So I'm indulging in a little festive cheer. I have written my annual Christmas song. She's finished. She's mixed. She's mastered. She's got some cute alternate versions as well. Gonna do a music video in a little while. She's not out for ages. Don't get excited about it. I'm a little hyped for her. During the process of writing that, I've gotten into TikTok. I said I wasn't gonna because I was deeply disturbed by a filter on there. But now I am a TikTok girly, that's a thing. But I also have an alternate account because when I was writing the Christmas song, I followed a couple of Christmas accounts because there are like
year round Christmas accounts on the TikTok. And I thought that's going to help me. It's going to inspire me, give me some ideas. And it worked. It worked. And it was fabulous. And so I had this idea to make my own little Christmas account, which I did. And it's quite nice. And, you know, just posting a little Christmas video every day. It's fun. I have a good time with it. Drives my girlfriend mental, though. She's like, oh, my God, Christmas this, Christmas that with you. But, you know, I'm a Christmas girly now, so it is what it is. However, because of my Christmas mania, I do now, you know, find myself in, you know, in Christmassy dreams sometimes, which, you know, is nice. It's nice to kind of get away from real life for a while and just sort of have myself a merry little Christmas on the astral planes or wherever I end up. But my dreams are also plagued with visions of the angriest man that Catalonia has ever seen, the angriest, you know, dude. He is a mean one, Mr. Grinch, but, you know, his heart will not grow several sizes. It's not going to happen for him. It's not in the cards. I refer to my father. This year, I don't know. I've been thinking about him a lot, probably because, you know, it was a thought I had avoided because I didn't want to. And then obviously, you know, this last year, you know, getting wrapped up with his side of the family again because, you know, I've got this whole, you know, the death we mentioned earlier in the year that's been going on and all of this. So now he's sort of, you know, found his way out of the cavern of my mind that I buried him in. And that's not great. It's a bit of a mood killer when you're trying to be like holly and jolly and then boom, here comes the catalyst for your last decade of self-loathing. You know, and I was like, let me have my dreams. Let me have my fucking dreams, man. Leave me alone. You know, I tried to give you what you wanted. Couldn't do it. All right, fine. I'm weak. I failed, whatever. But just let me have my fucking dreams back. Let me live in peace while I'm asleep. Because I can't really do that when I'm awake. But just let me have that small sliver of fucking happiness. Denied. Denied. And it's just a bit of a downer, really. So thought I'd write a poem about it. Obviously, as you may remember, New Year's resolution this year was be nice to myself, stop hating myself. Still working on it. I have my ups and downs. And I'm aware at some point I have to sort of come round to the fact that, yes, okay, perhaps he was the catalyst in that, but I did a lot of hating myself and I have to try and find a way to not do that. And, you know, most of the time I kind of can, which is fabulous. But every now and again, I can't.
And it's hard because I think everybody has like this idealized vision of what a relationship with a parent is supposed to be. You know, and I'm very lucky, you know, I'm not gonna shy away from the fact that I'm far more lucky than other people. You know, I very much have that with my mum. She's amazing, as I've... This is a My Mum Stan podcast. and I'm very fortunate for that. And as I've often said, my greatest regret is that I didn't just talk to her first before talking to him, because if I had a positive reaction from her, it probably wouldn't have mattered what he thought, and I would have just lived very happily, probably. I mean, maybe I wouldn't, and I'm just sort of idealizing that as an idea, but you know, I've got to hold on to something. I've got to hold on to something. But I think I have this idealized vision of, you know, what if my dad did not do the thing and everything was fine and we actually had a really good relationship, and what if everything was different? But it can't be different. And I know that, but I can't do anything with that knowledge. I accept that I can't change it, but I also can't stop myself from wanting to. And it's so difficult. Because there is just this part of my mind that is like, I don't understand. I don't understand how he could just not accept me for who I was. I don't understand how he could not love his child. I've never had a child, as we know. But I struggle to see a scenario, you know, outside of stuff like, I don't know, they become a serial killer or something like that. But even then, I don't know, I think maybe I'd struggle to stop loving them. But then I think maybe that's just, you know, my naivety. You know, I'm not particularly worldly. And maybe it was the expectation, the idealism, you know, I projected a much better person than was actually there onto him before. And for years, I have been struggling to deal with the consequences of doing that. And I don't know if that's ever going to go away. I don't know if I will ever reach a point where I'm not thinking about that, and I'm not thinking, you know, maybe if things had been different, maybe if I had tried harder to explain to him, maybe it could have been okay, but it never would have. And in a way, I think I've accepted that. But I can't understand it. And so it still plays on my mind. It's still always there in the back, in the little cavern, just being like, why did that happen? What the fuck was that about? And I don't have an answer. And I'm never going to have one because I can't now. The opportunity to have that answer is gone. It's long gone. It's been gone for a long time. And so I don't know if the feelings that it prompted are going to go away because I don't know how to make them. I don't know. Will I always hate myself a little bit because I know that he did? Did he really? Or am I just being like dramatic? Was it one of those things where maybe he said something he didn't mean and then he was too proud to take it back and I was off being wounded and sad and trying to prove to him that I was what he wanted me to be, but never really being that. And the distance was just too much. And time went on and he thought to himself, well, it's too late to go back and try and fix that now. I've just got to move on. And I thought the same. And then that was that. And then the door was closed and there was nothing else that could be said. Or am I perhaps deluding myself by thinking that? Who knows? But as I record this podcast for you, there are 141 days until Christmas. Well, 141 days and a couple of hours. And I can't wait because I tell you something. There will be lights and gingerbread and tinsel. I don't even really like gingerbread, actually, just full disclosure. I much prefer sugar cookies and shortbread and things like that. But you know what? I'll make some fucking gingerbread just to get in the spirit of things. There will be wonderful music, turkey. There will be a million adaptations of A Christmas Story by Charles Dickens on the television. And I will love each and every one because I fucking love that story. As you may have been able to tell by the fact that I myself did my own adaptation last Christmas. Which honestly is one of my favourite things I've ever done, actually. And I really enjoyed it. And I was really happy with how it turned out. And gonna be vain, I'm really proud of it. But yeah, that'll be going on. Charles Windsor will make a speech and I will refuse to allow it to be put on the television in my house. EastEnders will be on and it'll be fucking amazing. Quality Street will be out. We'll have lots of Quality Street, of course. My favourites are the caramel cups, if you wondered. I'm also going to get some celebrations, because they're great, and Cadbury Heroes because they've got the little cream egg things and I love the novelty of being able to technically have a cream egg at Christmas. I just think that's camp and hilarious, and it will be great, and I will work myself to death trying to make it like a perfect day for my family, because I always do that these days. And they're always like, oh, don't worry, just, you know, it's just all about being together. And I'm like, I know, but I want to be in my Nigella era. Let me be in my Nigella era. And all of that will allow me to be distracted. And I won't think about
I won't think about that voice in the cavern that's echoing a little and getting a little bit louder sometimes when I'm feeling a bit down, saying, you're terrible, you're disgusting, you're an affront to biology and good society. But like, you know, in Spanish. And I won't be able to hear that over Mariah Carey and Bing Crosby and Michael Bublé and Frank Sinatra and Elvis. And it'll be fantastic because for a couple of weeks, because for me, it's a fucking event. I live my life like an advent calendar, you know, and it will be a welcome relief from the rest of the year when I don't know from one day to the next whether my head is going to be full of just nice, you know, positive, wonderful thoughts or horror, you know, like the two versions of that Lizzo song in Barbie. Oh God. Not a Lizzo mention with the recent situation unfolding. But, you know, I guess, I don't know, maybe I'm holding out for that time so I can be so busy with all the wonderful things that the season brings that I can't think about what lurks in the cavern.
Thank you for listening to Sincerely Jennifer with me, Jennifer Wan. If you want to find more of my work, you can on my website, jenniferwan.com, or you can find me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, SoundCloud, and pretty much every social media website ever with the username Miss J Squared. Thank you to my amazing top tier Patreon supporters, Amanda, Kylie, Melissa,